You're listening to Spice Radio, 1200 AMs, The Morning Buzz, and today we're talking about how the Museum Liberation Force is asking the question, what's happening with the South Asian Canadian Museum? This comes as a group of community members say they're disappointed after failed promises from the provincial government. So on April 2nd at Surrey City Hall, the Museum Liberation Force will be having an event to discuss the community's legacy and what are the next steps. So we're now speaking to Dr. Sharanjit Kaur Sandhra, a local historian and museum professional who is a member of the Museum Liberation Force. Sharanjit, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
So now the BC NDP promised to create the first of its kind museum to document the history, art, and contributions of South Asian people in BC, which has a whole engagement process, as far as I'm aware of. So what was that process like?
Yeah, I mean, the messaging for that process began a few years ago. It was in partnership with different organizations then. And at the first, I guess they call it the first phase event that took place April, I think it was in April as well, like the first round of community consultation voices, there was a lot of pushback 2 years ago when that initial phase happened because it was not dealt with in a way that was inclusive of many different voices. It was not dealt with in a way that like took into consideration like our own community's experiences, the tensions within our own communities. It was a very glossed over event. And so that's the last time we really heard about anything for a long time after. And then all of a sudden in September, and I may get my dates mixed up because it's been so strange, like in terms of like the vacuum and lack of things happening between that initial event 2 years ago and then what's been happening in the last few months. Just a few months ago, I think maybe 6 months ago or so, the province, again, picked up the conversation and created an engagement advisory committee. I think they were calling it as a lead-up to, like, phase two of the consultation towards the South Asian Canadian Museum. And I was invited to be on that engagement advisory committee. And, you know, I'm always of the mindset, take a seat at the table until you realize that that seat at the table is basically BS. And, you know, maybe not from a place of wanting to listen to people's voices. And so I sat at that table for a few meetings and realized soon after, as you know, a super critical human being and a museum professional and somebody who did their PhD on museums as spaces of belonging, I was like, no, like there's red flags all around. And so I left that engagement advisory committee in a very public way, as I tend to do, by sending a send-off email to everybody, including those in the ministry, including those who were on the engagement advisory committee, just to raise different red flags. You know, at the end of the day, Mankiran, I felt like we are not being listened to. I felt like the gaps in communication, the vacuum of not having anything happen for like a year was being put on us as a community. And that's a big no-no. We are a community of incredibly intelligent human beings. We are museum professionals. We are artists, graphic designers, curators, name it. We are in this profession. And yet we are being treated as though, you know, we are inept or incapable of being able to handle a conversation about what a museum can look like. The other thing that I struggled with, sorry, if you want to jump into the question, definitely go for it. but like, you know, the biggest contention in many ways is even just the placeholder name, the South Asian Canadian Museum. And as an academic, I want to unpack that. Like, let's be transparent about where our, let's say, you know, like religious traumas come from and why we struggle with the word South Asian Canadian, why I define myself as a Punjabi Sikh, but what does that mean in terms of the relationships I have with people who aren't Punjabi Sikh and who may identify as South Asian? All of these tensions were bubbling as we attended those first few engagement committee meetings, and yet we were constantly being told to gloss over it. And it's like you have this mountain of like tension, contention, and intelligent conversations that are worth being had, but we weren't even allowed to have a space to address it, right? And the other thing is that we were constantly being compared to other museum models, like the Chinese Canadian Museum model. And as somebody who like did a little bit of research looking at like Chinese Canadian communities in British Columbia, you can't compare the two. And it's very racist to put it under an umbrella of Asian-Canadian, like, histories when we are, have totally different historical, linguistic, religious, cultural experiences from the Chinese-Canadian experience, which goes back to the 18th century. We can't compare the two. There are so many red flags. And so I left, and they kept doing their work. But when I did leave, I started talking with other people who've had similar kind of heartbreaking experiences, right, working with the ministry. And so a bunch of us just got together and created this Museum Liberation Force to say, let's just have our own community consultation. Let's bring our community together, multiple different people who identify multiple different ways, and have a conversation about what it is we want. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're doing on April 2nd.
Just how important are museums in telling stories about communities?
You know, the other thing is, people always, we're finding it difficult to convey to people who may not be in the field, like, what? Museums, like, there's so many other things happening in the world. Why are we worried about a museum? But you have to understand, museums are like a pathway to our feeling of belonging, right? We don't realize that we go on field trips as children, let's say in the K-12 system, and we go into museum places, spaces that never reflect us. They never reflect our identities. We're always seen as outside to, let's say, the Canadian narrative, right? So what is that like when you foster that feeling from, like, being an infant to whenever, to feel like you're not a part of, like, a story of who we are, how we came to be? That matters. That fostering a gap in who you are. And so it does have intersections to, like, healthcare. It has intersections to education. It has intersections to law, justice, all that stuff. Museums matter. You know, museums matter even more than textbooks in some cases. Like, people think that whatever they see in museums is more legitimized than even the things we see in textbooks. So what does it mean when you have a whole community of people who aren't validated through those experiences? So yes, museums matter. And yes, it matters for us as a community to say we are not stupid.
I'm looking at the BC government's kind of website currently, and they did kind of address, you know, how the broad name of South Asian Canadian Museum, yeah. And they did say, you know, that is something you want to address. You know, we understand it can be unifying, but both divisive. So when mm-hmm. the topic of, you know, just naming the museum was coming up, were there conversations around that?
You know, it came up as a point of contention in the very first phase. And I think that's when people realize, like, this consultative work isn't going to go as, quote, smoothly as maybe they'd thought. So it did come up in that very first phase consultation, and then there was silence for about a year. And then when I joined on the Engagement Advisory Committee, there were a few of us, actually, who brought it up. And I think it was a few of us who were academics on the Advisory Engagement Committee. And it was that same line that they put up on the website, that we know that there is contention, but let's move beyond that and try to figure out what we do next. And so I do understand the value of, like, moving forward. I just, in the case of our community's history, it is not that easy to move forward because it is so contentious in relationship to things that are happening in the here and now, right? Amongst the violence against the Sikh community that's taking place. The farmers' protests had just happen. There's all these, like, layered things that are taking place, and so to not address it is problematic. Like, that's where the transparency comes in. And the other thing is, again, like, when you have government bureaucrats or people who are not from our community, who have never worked with our community, leading the process, of course it's going to be problematic. Of course it's going to be flawed. Of course it's not going to be, you know, that heartfelt empathy. And again, that's what I felt. I didn't feel like there was actually meaningful empathy and understanding. It was just like, oh, we'll deal with that later. But you don't understand that that is actually really important and critical to the conversation. So why not address it head on? So the talking points on the website are really just promising that there is an awareness that there's contention, but we're going to move beyond that. But when you have people who aren't from our community leading that conversation, there's going to be gaps and holes throughout the process.
And for folks who aren't familiar, so what exactly is the Museum Liberation Force?
It's a good question. We're fairly new ourselves. It's a bunch of different professionals. We've got lawyers, cultural activists, graphic designers, historians like myself. It's just a group of people that we started growing it and expanding it more and more through our relationships to say, are you interested in, you know, the conversation around the museum, and you feel like there's an alternative method to be had? Like, is there an alternative way to approach this conversation? And when I say grassroots, I actually mean that, because I know there are some organizations that are questioning the quote leaderless approach. And I think, you know, sometimes operating organizations can't fathom the fact that we have an organization that has grown quite beautifully simply through our relationships with each other. We managed to, in like a few weeks, book Surrey City Hall, host an event. We've got, you know, social media campaign going, and this is all being done by volunteers. And so when I say that it's literally a grassroots group of professionals coming from the umbrella, quote, of South Asia, of the Dubbies, that's what it is. And more people are welcome to join. The one thing that I do want to caveat it with is we are all trying to approach this conversation with integrity and care. And so when I say that, you know, we're not going to put each other down because there are multiple perspectives out there speaking about this museum and critiquing and naming and shaming. We're not going to do that. We are simply trying to approach the conversation with any community member can come, bring your ideas, and we are going to synthesize that and send it to the ministry. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if that answers the question, but and it's growing, and anybody's welcome to join the conversation.
Sharanjeet, I want to thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time, so thanks again. I really, really appreciate hearing your perspective on this. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mandiran. Take care.